Lord, we ask that that would be a prayer of ours today, that in every season, no matter what may be in front of us, that our heart's desire would be to keep our eyes fixed on you, not to be troubled by trouble, but to know where our peace is, and that is you. Father, you are in control of all things. You are sovereign. And today is a day that we get to sit and take in of your word. And I pray that your word would transform us, Lord, into the image of Christ today. So teach us your ways. Bless us with your presence. Be our teacher this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing? All right, give your neighbor a high five and tell him Jesus loves you. All right. Well, I'd love to welcome any of you who are visiting for the very first time. We pray that as you are here, you can get information concerning our fellowship. But today is actually a good day that you are here, because we are going to take a break from our normal study in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to have a message today just kind of helping us get back to what we're all about and why we do what we do. And so it's a great day for you who are visiting. Pray that you are blessed by the service today. And for those watching online, thank you for joining us. If you do need a Bible today, please raise your hand. Our ushers would love to get you one so you can follow along with us. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 4. That's in the Old Testament, right, guys? Just checking. Just checking. Make sure you're awake. You know what I mean? It's in the New Testament. It comes right before 2 Peter, just in case you're wondering. As you're turning your Bibles there, I just want to encourage you. What a blessing that we have in seeing young our youth, actually, and even our young adults who are just wanting to serve the Lord out on the mission field, or just feeling stirred by the Lord to go out and spend a weekend instead of, you know, going down to the mall or the skate park. They're wanting to go and serve the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. So we want to continue to pray for them. And as Michelle said, as the Lord leads, if you would like to help sponsor, that would be a huge blessing. As well as what she mentioned about prayer and fasting, I want to encourage us along with that, is that as that time is getting closer to election day, I want to remind you that if you have not registered to vote, this is just a friendly reminder. We have information for you at the Connection Center. All it is how to vote, where to register. You could do it online, or if you want to go in person, there's an address for you there. And so we just want to, again, as a friendly reminder, encourage you. Let's use our freedoms that we have today. We live in the most amazing place ever, and we want to make sure that we continue to voice or cast our votes for those who God puts upon our heart to vote for. Okay? Sound good? All right. You guys all right this morning? Are you sure? All right. Okay. I just checking. Don't get mad. Listen, I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you can, please. We want to pray for our service. I'm not going to read the portion of Scripture yet, but just you can hang on to your Bible if you like. And let's just pray. Lord, we thank you again for blessing us with this time together. I'm excited, Lord, to open up your word and, again, allow you to take control of our service. We want, Lord, your word to come alive. And it's not that we just gather to get head knowledge or to have knowledge of you. But I pray that our sole desire would be is to know you personally, to receive your word and receive instruction and guidance for our life, and to know, Lord, what your greatest desire is for all of us. And so today is a special day. It's a Mission Sunday. But today we're going to specifically talk about not missions, but the mission. And so I pray, lead us. Empty me of myself. Help me get out of your way, Lord, so that once again you would be our teacher. And I ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So for those of you who are new to our fellowship, every fifth Sunday there is in a month, we take a break from our study and we focus on missions. One of the things that you will discover about our church, our fellowship, is we desire to fulfill the Great Commission. We see it in Scripture. And so it's on times like this, it's on these fifth Sundays where we want to share with you some of the missions that is going on in our church, some of the areas that God has called us to, and then encourage us how to be a partner in that, how God can use us to come alongside workers that are on the field and encourage them, whether spiritually, financially, however the Lord would lead you. That's between you and the Lord, okay? And so today is one of those days where we want to do that because, again, it's important to be refreshed by why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do. And if we can't explain it, then we need to kind of reevaluate why we exist. And so it's important for you to know, if you're going to be a part of this fellowship, I want you to know which way the boat is going, okay? And so, and again, there's something special about getting together and just looking at what God has called us to do. And I pray it would refresh you for those of you who know already. But for those of you who don't know, again, we have a lot of literature that we would love to give you. But today, I want to share with you really quickly what our vision is, and that is to be a Great Commission community that makes an everlasting impact through devotion to Christ, His Word, and one another. Okay, in short, we follow Jesus and we make Him known. Coming straight out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Now, our mission is we passionately go make disciples by empowering individuals to become devoted followers of Christ. We strive to grow servant leaders, providing opportunities for individuals to develop their spiritual gifts. And through all that we do, we seek to glorify God. Okay, so this is our mission. This is what we want to do practically every day that we have an opportunity. And so, in short, our goal is to go, grow, and glorify God in all that we do. If there's anything that I would love to hear as a testimony of Calvary Chapel St. George, is when we serve the Lord, people see Jesus. That's the desire. Not that we would steal glory away from God, not to elevate the name of Calvary, because the name of Calvary doesn't mean anything. What is important is our relationship with the Lord and that our lives would literally be transformed by the power of the gospel message. And this is why it is so important to refresh our hearts, because again, in a time that we're living such as now, it is important to stay focused on the gospel. And if you do not know this, I'm going to share this with you right now. What we're getting ready to experience, what we get ready to experience every 4 years, hasn't changed. And I'm asking all of us to play nicely. We all have the freedom to pick and choose who we vote for, but let's remember one thing. Our government isn't going to save us. It is the gospel that saves us. And it is the gospel that we want to have going out to the ends of the earth, because if we really desire to see our world change, it starts with the gospel. And so we have a desire to do this. And so I want to show another slide to Lord willing, show you how this cycle works for us. The very first word I want us to always remember why Calvary exists is we exist to follow Jesus. And again, our memory or our scripture reference, Matthew 4, verse 19. As we follow Him and as we have a chance to fellowship within this church and remember that we are all imperfect people trying to learn how to live for Jesus. Okay? Can we agree on that today? That we are all flawed. We are all, many of us in this room are just not lovable. We all have our days, right? We all have our days. And so the reality is as we come here and as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we grow in our understanding of God's agape love, then we want to go and tell somebody about it. So that verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, we're going to read that a little bit later. But we want to go out from this place, take what we've learned, and share it with somebody who doesn't know. Then, as we go, those of us who remain in this fellowship, we want to grow in the spiritual giftings that God has given you. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you have been given a spiritual gift to be used so that we will then glorify God. Which leads us to, again, the last one, glorifying all that we do. We want people to see Jesus. We want God to get the glory. If there's anything good in us, if we've been studying the Bible correctly, we know that it did not originate from us. We are selfish people by nature. And so anything good in us has been given to us by God for the sole purpose of blessing other people. And if anybody ever comes up to you and says, oh, praise the Lord for you, remember what they just said. Praise the Lord, not you. Okay? And so the last word is just an added on. If you can't see it, it says repeat. Why do I have that word repeat? Because God has not called us to build our own little kingdom here in St. George. God has not called us to build a mega church here. God has called us to invite people to be a part of the ministry, to develop their spiritual gifts for the sole purpose of building them up, encouraging the body, and then sending them out. We want this fellowship to be an extension of the Great Commission, which means we send people out. If we ever have the blessing, and I believe we will very soon, to have a church plant, the Lord has blessed us with three of them already, and I pray that he's going to give us a lot more, that as people are getting called by the Lord, that they would not stay comfortable sitting in these pews or in these chairs. We just bought three-hour chairs, so you guys are okay for now. But not that we would be comfortable, but we would be led by the Lord to fulfilling whatever calling he has given us. And I firmly believe a successful church plant is not just sending out one person or just one family. We want to invite the family of here in this church. We want to invite families within this fellowship. If you feel led and we ever partner with another person to plant a church, that you have the freedom to go and support them. You are not my sheep. You belong to God. And you need to go where God's called you to grow in your relationship with him. That's what is important to me. I love you, and I'm blessed to have you here. But if you are not growing, I do not say this negatively, and I don't take offense to it. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But I want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. That is what matters most. If you love Jesus and you're growing, praise the Lord, okay? Because it's all about him. So we do that, and then we repeat it. If we have a church plant, we send people out, we fill the church again with more people, and then we build them up and we send them out. We are not meant to build our own little kingdom here. And so this is why Calvary exists. This is the way our boat is going. We want to serve the Lord with everything. And normally today, I would be discussing about workers out on the field or fulfilling the Great Commission. But today, I want us to focus on something I believe that is important before we go, and that is what is actually the mission. Okay? We can't jump into missions if we don't know what the original mission is. And so I want to share with you very simply what I believe God is calling us here at Calvary to do. And it's one sentence, and I'll have two scripture references. Here's this statement, or here's the one sentence. Here is the mission. Love God and love people. Isn't that easy? It's easy to say. This is known as the Great Commandment. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to verse 40. I want to just summarize it for you. But a rich young ruler approaches Jesus, and he asks Jesus a question. And the question is, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, I love this about Jesus because he knew exactly that this person was not coming because he was asking this question with a sincere heart. He was trying to trap Jesus into saying something negative. And of course, Jesus, knowing all things, took advantage of this question and planted the truth in many people's hearts. And so Jesus actually answered the question, and he said this: you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what Jesus just said was really amazing and awesome, because out of all the law that God gave for his people, and out of all the prophets that he sent into, to his nation to remind them of who their God is, to remind them of what is to come, and to warn them to get their hearts right with God, he said, out of all the things that they've ever said, it boils down to these two, and the rest of them, listen, I'm going to sum them up all in this one statement. Love God and love people. There's the one verse, which is known as the Great Commandment. And so this is the mission, to know God and love him first, and then we are to love our neighbor. And that means, yes, your neighbor, the one who actually lives next to you, that's the closest one, but then your neighbor is also the person that you're sitting next to. Your neighbor is also the ones, you know, those other non-spiritual people that go to first service and third service. You're called to love those ones too, okay? We're called to love one another. And so you can put anybody in there. And the thing that I pray we would see is this: the moment that a person receives the good news of Jesus Christ and receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, this person becomes a new creation. They're born again. They were once spiritually dead, now they become spiritually alive. They have now been reconciled back to God. They're reconnected with God. And so God, out of all creation, listen, this is what blows me away. Out of everything that he created, why are we so special? Because we were created in his image. Why is this picture of who God is and the love that he has for us, why is it above all things? Because he has a desire to walk with you. He has a desire to be a part of every aspect of your life, to help you make those tough decisions that are before you. He wants to be a part of those things. And it is amazing that God would be willing to do all of this. And here's what blows me away. Because we've been in the Gospel of Mark, the picture of the cross and of what Jesus did with his own blood demonstrated his love, that he would want to spend eternity with you and me. That's some amazing love. So this is what God's willing to do in this relationship. What's our responsibility? What's our part? Well, we're to love him, as the scripture says, with everything that is within us. And as we love him with everything that is within us, then that means he's going to be the priority. That means that we are going to want to know what he loves and what he hates. It's going to require us to learn his ways and not ours. Because if we're all honest, our way wasn't really working. Am I the only one? Y'all got me nervous. Come on now. Maybe I should just walk off the stage. I don't know. But the reality is as we grow in this amazing new relationship, it will literally blow you away at how God will speak to you. And I'll never forget when I first started opening up the Bible, and I went to the very beginning, because I thought that's what you do when you read a book. You know, my head was scratching when I got to Leviticus. But even when I first opened up Genesis and I found out that men were made out of dirt, I'm all like, I walked out of my bedroom and I went to my wife, because my wife knew a little bit more about the Bible than I did at that time. And I'm all like, babe, is this true? We were made out of dirt. And she's all like, yeah. And I'm all like, well, see, now you can't get mad at me because I don't know a whole lot. But then I went back in and I started reading. And then I found out how a woman was made. And I'm all like, babe, is this true? She's like, yes, it is. It's true. It's the word of God. I was blown away by things that God was revealing to, you know, that it was being revealed to me. And I was excited about reading the word, and I wanted to know more, and I wanted to grow in my understanding of who he is. And then that led into, now I get an opportunity to pray. Now I have an opportunity to talk to God. That blows me away. It blows me away that at any given time, at any given place, doesn't matter where you're at, you do not have to be in a specific location for God to hear your voice. And he can hear your voice in the same way that somebody else is praying at that very hour. He can hear their voice, and many others who are praying at that hour, he hears them all. So we have this amazing access to him, and our part is just to talk with him, to bring him all of our cares and concerns. And then the other thing that we have a blessing with is one another. We get to fellowship with other people who love Jesus as well. Listen, we are called to be in this world, and we're going to be around people who don't love Jesus, and that's okay. Just don't let them influence you. You be the one influencing them. But when we're here, here's what I want you to focus on. We're family. And as we come into this fellowship, again, remember why we exist. This church is nothing but imperfect people trying to learn how not to sin. So if we understand that and know that, then we can actually lock arms with one another and not celebrate our failures, but celebrate the fact that we've been forgiven and we can move forward. Come on now. We get to move forward in the things of the Lord. And so not only do we get to talk with him and fellowship with one another, then we have the amazing privilege of serving him. I told you, how did God get me into the ministry? I was the donut guy. You can help in children's ministry. One donut for you, two for me. One for you, two for me. It worked out great. You serve, and it is a privilege to serve. It's not a have to. Please understand that. It is not a have to. It's we get to. Okay? That's the beauty about serving. And if anybody has ever served, you will know. You think you're going to be a blessing to others, and the reality is you're the one that walks away more blessed than they are. So then, with this first passage that I give, what is the mission? Or that's the mission, I should say. Now, what is missions with an S? It is now to take what we have learned of who God is and go and tell. That's the simplest way I can explain it. That what God has given to us, it's not meant to be kept a secret. We go and we tell other people of how good our God is. Now, just, I don't know, I would guess, I'm assuming God's been good to you. Well, that wasn't believable. Come on now. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Has he answered some prayer?
Yes.
Has he knocked down some walls?
Yes.
Has he set you free from some burdens?
Yes.
Okay. This is where we need to tell people. This is what people need to hear today that God has been doing in our life. And so the next thing that I want us to see is as we fall in love, as we learn, we go and tell. And this is what we know as the Great Commission, found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Right? This is in that part where the promised land people would have had Moses say, "I have spoken." They're all in the front row, by the way. But it is amazing to me when you look at this amazing commission. Many people think it's a suggestion. But God says, no, this is what I am instructing you to do. This is what you and I is, this is our responsibility. Now that we have been given the greatest answer, the greatest blessing of knowing God personally, and knowing what we have been saved from now, it is our responsibility to take that message and pass it on. And so this is why these two verses come to mind. Again, loving God first and then loving people. And so today, this is what we need to understand. We cannot fulfill this great commission if we haven't received, believed, and obeyed the great commandment. And it starts in here. It starts with our relationship with God. So nobody is ever going to want to go out of this building and talk about God if you're not even spending time with God, if you're not even giving Him your whole heart. And so I don't think, listen, I'm going to ask this question. Happily married couples, raise your hand. See how I did that? I set you guys all up. Praise the Lord. How would you like to find out that your spouse only loved you with a quarter of their heart? How would you like to, you know, have one day your spouse come up to you and say, you know what, I only like you half of the time. Or how about I love you only on the weekends, but the rest of the time is me time. So I'll be back on Friday, but then I'm going to leave on Monday. I mean, how many of you would be okay with that? I'm glad no hand raised was raised. That would be a little scary. And so when we think of this amazing opportunity that we have to be in a relationship, this is why I believe this passage is so important for us, because we don't want to take it for granted. The passage that I want us to look at, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, I want us to see Peter encouraging believers to live a life on mission, to love God and to love people. Remember, that is the mission. What does the scripture say? But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as if with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here in this particular passage, again, Peter is encouraging saints who are going through persecution. It's an amazing letter of not just persecution, but even as the early church was birthed, there was division, there was people creeping into the church, bringing in false doctrines. And so they have just the same problems back then. We have just the same problems as they had back then. We're experiencing them today. And so what is Peter's first encouragement to the saints and to us today? Here it is. Take your walk serious. Take your walk with the Lord serious. And he gives us the reason why, because the time is near. Now, as the church was birthed, the apostles all thought that Jesus' return would happen very quickly. But here we are, some thousands of years later, and Jesus has not come for the second time. Some people might say, well, see, they're lying. No, the reality is here's the truth. We're just a lot closer than they are. Or they were. I think that's the way it's supposed to go. He's still going to come because the Bible tells us this. And one of the things that, Lord willing, we will see is this. Because time is so short, our time here on this earth, if you ever walk by a cemetery and see the tombstones of people that have already passed away, you will see a date of birth and a small dash and the date that they passed. And that is our journey here on this earth, but a dash compared to all eternity. So knowing that this time is short, knowing that according to Bible prophecy, listen to this, Jesus will return back to this earth with his saints. For those who were raptured, for those who put their faith in him, they will return. And when he returns a second time, he will put an end to the rule of the Antichrist and the great tribulation period time. This is going to happen. Some may disagree on timelines. That's not the point. The point is, he's coming. And here's what we need to know. If Jesus' first coming, he came to save, which is in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave He sent Jesus into this world out of love for you and me. And so his first coming was in love to save. His second coming, it tells us very clearly, Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 to 31, he will come to rule and reign on the earth as the rightful king and judge. What does a judge do? Judges. He will bring judgment. So during his time of him coming the second time, there will be a lot of people facing judgment. How does that sit with you? Are you okay with that? I hope and pray that none of us would be okay with that. You know, I've heard a few pastors say this before, and I know it's not gospel, but their example kind of hits a note. Can you imagine having a family member stand before Jesus and they're standing right before you, and you have the gospel message and you received Christ, but they go before you? Because of what Jesus did, you'll stand before God in grace. But because you never took the time to share and you never passed out this information of how they could be saved, they face judgment and they turn around and look at you and go, "You knew, and you never once said a word to me." Would that sit okay? We can't be afraid to speak truth. Now, what they do with it, that's on them. We're not to force, we're not to hit them over the head, but in love, we present the truth of the gospel. I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with the fact that there are areas in our world that have never heard the name of Jesus. I'm not okay with the fact that, you know, there's an area that we call the 1040 window that is the least amount of area in our world that has the most poverty and the most places that are ruled by false religions. And there is less work going there compared to Hawaii, compared to Australia, compared to Mexico, compared to all the other places in the world, that some of those places are oversaturated with the gospel. This second coming, Peter wants us to know it's near. And his encouragement is this: stop playing games and live out your faith. It's time for us not to take our walk half-heartedly, but to serve the Lord and love Him wholeheartedly. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the primary way God has chosen to reach people is through people, through you and me, through what giftings He's given us to help others see who He is. And if we are loving God with everything that is within us, and we're denying ourselves and living for Him, then guess what's going to happen? He's going to give us a burden for people. He's going to help us to see we were once there. So I'm going to throw this out there, and then I'm going to move on. But I pray none of us, when we come around people or we see people in town and we think they're just out there, don't ever forget you were once that way too. And if all of us were like that, remember what I prayed and what I said earlier. Thank God somebody took the time to share Jesus with us. So don't ever think that, you know, you can just pass somebody. If you're loving Jesus and giving Him everything, He is going to give you a burden. And what I shared last week, our world does not need to see secret Christians. They need to see genuine believers following Him and living out His word. The second encouragement Peter wanted the church back then and us to know today is: be watchful and pray. We are to be mindful of what's going on around us. And as we see our world in the way that it is, listen, be clear-minded, be sober-minded. In other words, this word watchful literally means don't let anything influence you and what you know to be true. Don't let what you see happening discourage you or lose sight or think God's losing, because God is not losing. He is still sitting on his throne. And so when we look at what Peter's encouragement is be alert, know what's happening. Make sure that whatever you're looking at is, which is, I'm gonna get myself in trouble now. It's hard to know who's telling you the truth, right? You turn on the news, you don't know if it's honest truth. And the reality is, here is what we need to do. Be alert, be under control. Don't let what is going around you trouble you. In other words, here's what I want you to remember. Don't let the trouble you see trouble you, okay? Don't let it mess you up. Don't let it start playing, you know, mind games on you. How can we protect our heart from being sucked into the madness of this world and start venting on social media? As if you do that, just stop, okay? We're not in high school anymore. But if you don't want to get sucked into what's happening and you don't want to be the person to start venting, what do we need to do to protect the heart? Here it is, simple answer. You guys ready? It's deep. I'm like, so deep. Spend more time in his word and in prayer. That's what Peter's saying. Spend more time in the word and in prayer. And I want to share with you, again, why this is important, because it's not just my opinion. What does Scripture tell us? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when we are taking in of God's word, when we are filling our hearts with more of it, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to see behind what's happening in our world. You're going to be able to see that even though it looks ugly, though things are falling apart and there's so much division in our world, you get to see through the eyes of Christ and understand and know that the Bible tells us that though this is a season of darkness, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We know that this place is not our home. And if there's anything that we're going to ever get to take with us into heaven, it's not stuff, it's people. And so what I want us to understand is this. God's word has given us, again, everything that we will ever need to remind us that God is still in control. How about this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. God is the one who's going to protect you from losing it or blowing your temper or, you know, venting out on social media. He will be the one to protect you. You just need to turn to him. How about this one? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Many of us should have this highlighted. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You want to protect your heart? Spend more time in the word and give it all up to the Lord in prayer. Because it is through that time that God is going to protect you from getting all crazy. Peter's next encouragement to us, he says, above all things, have fervent love. And this love is meant for one another and even for those who are lost in our world. And he says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And I want to make sure we understand this. You know, it amazes me when I look around from here and my point of view, I see the most beautiful thing, and that's diversity. I see a lot of different nationalities in here. I see older saints. Let me back up. I see wiser saints. I see younger saints. I see our children's ministry filled with kids. I see people visiting us for the first time. There's no place that you'll ever see this if there's no food and there's not a theme park. But we're all here because of Jesus. And if we can always remember that this is a safe place, this is a place of retreat for us to be equipped, to grow stronger in our faith, to trust the Lord, and to leave this place changed is the goal. And while we do that, can we just remind one another of this simple truth? God has placed us together for this season, for such a time as this. And it's to be a good witness for Him here in the community that we live. It starts here in St. George. It starts in your neighborhood. It starts in your own home. And then God will give us the privilege and the blessing to take it to the ends of the earth. And as we do this, let us demonstrate this fervent love. If we were to look up this word, it speaks of pertaining to being eager to preserve in some state or activity. That we would literally not just love one time, but be in a constant state of loving people. It also, if we were to look at the word love here, it's speaking of agape love, which is a God kind of love. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, set the bar. We're not to love one another based upon our love. We're to love one another based upon the love that God's poured out on us. That's the standard. God's love is sacrificial. It's a love that has no conditions. It is a love that loves just because. And so if we love with a God kind of love, guess what? We will experience more unity and less division. If we are loving with an agape love, this is what will happen. Love allows us to extend grace and mercy and reminds us all we are all sinners in need of a Savior. That's looking through the eyes of love, understanding and remembering that all of us walked in darkness. And all of us are on different levels with our relationship with the Lord. And this is why it's important to be led by love, because love will remind us that we're still all a work in progress. Remember that not everybody is on the same level as you in your relationship with the Lord. So don't ever look down on somebody who may not be there. You know, please, if you walk out of this fellowship and you see somebody puffing on a vapor, those things. Don't go by looking at them with crooked eyes, you know, doing that Kermit the Frog face. Oh, they must not be saved. That person may have just accepted the Lord in the church and now you're bashing them. That's not our job. If the grace of God has been good to us and God is not pulling up our sins, why are we doing that to other people? I hope and pray that when we are led by love, agape love, it will remind us that there's only one judge and we're not it. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who will take care of that stuff. It's not our job. Our job is to what? Thank you for this side. We're called to love. And if we're loving, God uses you. If we're loving God, that love that God gives you will overflow. And it's not just loving people, it's helping them in their time of needs. And I want to encourage you with this. When you help somebody who is in need, remember this. Don't put no strings attached to it. Come on now. If you're going to give out of the kindness of your heart. Give because God's put it upon your heart to give. And don't expect anything in return. Or don't look at that person like, don't forget. Okay? Don't do that. If it is in the power of us to help people out and give, you give. But please don't put any strings attached to it. Don't grumble about giving or complain about they always need help. Don't do it, beloved. There are a lot of people in our fellowship. There are a lot of people that I know. And this has hit home personally for me. But when you lose a loved one, we're not there all the time. We struggle. And it's awesome when the body of Christ comes together to help. It's awesome when the body of Christ is there just to love on people. The power of presence is what I'm talking about. It's not always having to give financially. It's just you being available for people and letting them know that you love them. That sometimes speaks even louder than any amount of dollars you can give. The next thing that Peter wanted to encourage us with is this: every one of us as believers has been given a spiritual gift by the Lord. And if he's given us a spiritual gift, what is the purpose? Why did he do that? It's so that we can minister, so that we can serve, so that we can be an encouragement to other people, that we can learn how to develop and use the giftings correctly. This is our training ground. This is the area that we learn how to love God and serve him with everything that is within us. And again, I'm telling you, serving is an amazing blessing. If you were, I guarantee you that there's probably some single moms here that, you know, have the blessing of sitting in here without their kids for an hour. Like, I remember my wife used to tell me when I was at work and she'd try to go to the bathroom and then she'd see the little fingers underneath the door. What are you doing in there? I want to come in. I can't even go to the bathroom. I guarantee you our single moms are thanking the Lord that we have children's ministry. How about for us coffee addicts? Thank the Lord there was somebody here making some coffee this morning. Many of you have walked into this sanctuary and said, oh man, the remodel and the painting, and it feels more comfortable, more relaxing. And yeah, you want to know who to thank? The people that came in and served and painted the walls and donated their time and was able to do these certain things and vacuum the rug and pick up the trash from the last service or whatever. And those people serve to bless you. So we're to use the gifts that God's given us, not just to set them on the shelf, but remember that the gifts that we've received have been because of God's grace. God is the one who's given them to us. If you listen today, really quick, if you have the gift of teaching, use it. Be an encouragement. Be an encouragement and don't think, well, Pastor, I want to be up there in the pulpit with you. Hold down, cowboy. It could happen in the future sometime, but not tomorrow. I don't know you. You want to develop your teaching? Let's put you in children's ministry. Let's put you in youth ministry. Let's have you go with some of our elders to Southgate or to one of the other elderly communities that we go and visit. How about going on hospital visits or visiting families at home? You can open up the word and share devotion with them. How about we start there and then we see where it'll go from there? If you have that gift, here's what I want to encourage you. Study, be diligent, pray over your message. And this is the greatest prayer that any of us could ever utter. God, help me get out of your way. If it's the gift of helps, again, serve, and I guarantee you, you're going to be a blessing to many people. One of the greatest areas of ministry that I pray is blessing you as couples is family night or parents' night out. I want to let you know the whole heart behind that is to give you an opportunity to take care of the family. And remember, the family first is the husband and wife. The kids are the blessing. the two of you need to help take care of each other. Keep the romance, keep the dating. Just because you say I do, you know you're still supposed to date. Okay? Make sure you do that. That's the heart behind it, and many people have been blessed, so I thank the Lord for that. What else does Peter want us to do? Serve, not in our own strength, but in the strength that he gives us, which is his Holy Spirit. No matter what it is, I pray that we're getting time with the Lord, that we're filling our hearts with his word. Even though you may not be a teacher, you will never be surprised at how often you might be called upon. Remember the donut guy in the beginning? First weekend, I was happy. Second weekend, the teacher didn't show up. You're it. I don't even know what to teach. Like, what am I supposed? I just read the paper. You just never know. But if your heart is filled with the word, that's what you share. That's what comes out. We pray, we prepare. You never know when you're going to be called upon. But the reality is this, if we are relying upon the Holy Spirit, then people are going to see Jesus and not us. I don't want to give people my opinion. I want to give them Jesus. One other encouragement that Peter gives us is whatever we do in everything, God will always get the glory. And again, the gifts that we receive, the opportunities that we have to serve. And if people ever say, you know, praise the Lord, remember, don't steal that glory away from God. Give it where it's due. Because if we're all honest, everything that we can do is a gift from God. It originated with him, and we want to give him the glory and honor he deserves. And so one of the things that I hold on to very dearly, as God has now blessed Maurice and I in this position of being lead pastor here, we don't take it lightly. We know where we've been. We know it is God's grace that has saved us. We know that everything that God is doing in and through us is because of him and not because of us. And I hold on to this passage because it reminds me that he deserves all glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to verse 31. I want to read it in the NLT translation. It says, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and freed us from sin. Therefore, because Jesus did all of this, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. This is a powerful verse that will remind us, don't ever steal any glory away from God. He is the giver of all things. And so I want to also just remind us really quickly how this works. And I'm going to throw a name out there to you and see if you know who this person is. But do you know of a person by the name of Susan Boyle? Okay, all right. For those of you who don't know who she is, she auditioned on, I think, America's Got Talent or one of those, what is it? Yeah, that other one. That I just saw the video. Anyways, what we just read, come to life. This lady walks on stage and doesn't look like a performer. Older lady. Didn't look the part that she could even sing. And yet, as she was being interviewed by the judges, the camera turns around and shows the audience, and many of them are laughing like, who is this? And then when they asked her where she's from, she got a little flustered and stumbled upon her words, and then people started laughing at her. And then the last got even more because they asked her, who do you want to inspire to be? And she named a very famous person, and everybody even laughed out loud. And so as she sang, all of the negativity, all of the laughter, all of the mocking, and the moment that she opened up her mouth, there was no more laughing. All of the laughs turned into tears, and the tears turned into people standing up and applauding her. And at the very end, what was so powerful was that one of the judges was just blown away and said, we have all been humbled here. You came out here and we laughed at you. We mocked you. We didn't even believe that you could sing. And she says, may this be a lesson, because there's nobody laughing now. How powerful is that? And this brings back to the truth of what we just read, because God is not looking for the perfect person, for the person who fits the part, who looks the part. That's called a poser. God doesn't want posers. What God wants is a heart that is open. What God desires is to take that heart and transform them into the image of Christ, so that we, even though we may not look like we're something to this world, the message that we preach will give them an opportunity to see Jesus in a way that they probably never would have saw him before. And that's the desire. When I say, and when I entitled this message, Be On Mission, what does that mean? Take your walk serious. Be watchful and pray. Don't let the madness suck you in, but protect your heart by getting into the Word and lifting it up into God's hands and asking Him to guide you through it all. Have fervent love for one another and even those that are lost. If God so loved the world, so should we. If you have received a spiritual gift, use it. And when you use it, remember who gave it to you. Remember that it is meant to be a blessing to other people. And make sure that whatever we do in the name of the Lord, we always give Him the glory. That's what being on mission is all about. We need to learn how to do this before we can jump on the other boat of missions. We first need to learn the great commandment before we can go out and share of Jesus to our world. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Father, we want to thank you so much for this day. We want to thank you for this time. And I do pray that, Lord, as we are here, that we would continue to trust you and to look to you to help our lives being changed from the inside out. That we would come to the saving knowledge of who you are, and praying that as we go through your word, that it is your Holy Spirit that is drawing hearts to believing, to, Lord, receiving you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And today, as our heads are bowed, I pray that for those who consider Christ their Savior, Lord, empower my brothers and sisters to be a good witness. Help them to be on mission. Help them to love you, God, first, and that you would be the one teaching them how to love others. And so, Lord, as they leave, bring to their mind someone who they can reach out to this week. Bring somebody in mind that they could even call or send a text message or have lunch with. Or if there's somebody who is in need, that we would be that loving hand that will come and bless others. Lord, however you see fit, use us today to be a light and to be an example of Jesus. But I also want to pray now, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given the Lord your heart. Maybe you didn't understand why we always talk about Jesus is the only one who can save you. I just want you to know this. God loves you. And he proved that love by sending Jesus into this world to die a death that he did not deserve. And why was Jesus' death so important? Because he lived a sinless life. He became the perfect sacrifice that through the shedding of his blood would bring the atonement of the sins of the world. It was the rightful payment that God accepted. So we can't save ourselves. It's only Jesus who can save us. And Jesus himself said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is Jesus' words. So when Jesus died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose again, he not only paid for the sins of the world, but he defeated over sin and Satan, death and hell. He proved that nothing can hold him down. He conquered and had victory over them all. And if Jesus rose from the grave, for those who put their faith in him will also rise from the grave when we take our last breath here on earth. God loves you once again, and he has a desire to spend eternity with you. But the only way that that can happen is when we believe and we place our trust in the finished work of the cross. And from that point on, we give the Lord our heart. And it is the Lord who comes in and teaches us how to live for him, changes our life around, and that we begin to have new appetites. And the things that we thought we needed are nothing compared to the knowledge and the truth of who Jesus is. So it is my prayer this morning that you would want to receive him. And if this is you, right where you're at, I want to ask you that you would raise your hand. I want to ask you that you would acknowledge, "I need Jesus today." We've all been there. And many of the people in this room have made that decision. But if you never have, praise the Lord, this is your time. This is God speaking to you. This is God revealing to you that he loves you. It is God telling you that I am real. It is God telling you that I'm willing to walk with you. It is God telling you that I have a desire to spend all eternity with you. See, he's willing to do all of these things, but he doesn't force anybody to do it. So if this is you today, just right where you're at, there's a few hands that have already been raised. Anyone else? Lord, I want to thank you for the hands that were raised, and I do pray, God, that you would continue to move amongst us. Maybe your hand didn't raise, maybe for whatever reason you didn't raise your hand. I just want to encourage you, it's not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. God sees it. So if this is you this morning, and you would still like to receive him into your heart, you can pray with us. So anybody this morning who would like to receive Christ, just repeat this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. And I've learned today that he died for me, that he died for the sins of the world. God, I come before you and I confess that I have sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins can be forgiven, and I'm at peace with you, God. So thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for loving me. God, from this point on, come into my life and teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.